Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's look ahead to Europa League action with Everton tonight and also have a look at their managerial situation. We'll do this with Dale Tempest from Sky Bet. Morning, Dale.
Morning, sir. How you doing?
Yeah, very good. Everton give up on Marco Silva. It's the running narrative of our conversations. We start on the Everton manager each and every week. So, have they given up on him?
No. Well, not according to the betting. He's still the favourite, 13-8 favourite. The big mover, and you'll know more about this than me. I mean, it surprised me when I was taking the prices down a minute ago. Ralph Rangnick.
Yeah.
You know Ralph Rangnick? 2-1. Second favourite, he's the huge mover. Leipzig's manager, being sort of star German manager. A couple of semi-successful German managers on the go at the moment, aren't there? So it looks like that, well, that's the latest move. When it goes on this long, you absolutely are guessing. You know, you sit there just waiting to see when it's done. You get these late movers in. I mean, Ralph Rangnick wouldn't have been in the betting probably a couple of days ago. It would suddenly, agents get talking, behind the scenes, things start happening, and word soon gets out. And there you have it. Uns was 3-1. You'll like the 1/4 in the market, Louis van Gaal. That made me laugh when I was writing. He's into 10-1. So they must be getting desperate if when they're throwing people like him into the equation. But yeah, Ralph Rangnick, that would be interesting if Everton ended up with a German manager.
I'm not sure Louis van Gaal can solve the problems at Goodison Park. The interesting thing with Ralph Rangnick is he's the current sporting director of RB Leipzig. And he's only been a manager for, what, 10 months in the past 6 years? He was the manager of RB Leipzig, but just for 10 months. So he's now their sporting director. So if they were to take someone like him, it's not as though he's been in a managerial role full-time over the past 5 years, which would be an interesting option.
Absolutely. The thing with, though, it's Leipzig, isn't it? It's what's happened at the club there under his tutelage, shall we say. You know, he's been the star man at Leipzig, whether he's not been, you know, in the dugout as such. He's been sort of given a lot of the credit with the rise of Leipzig. I think they're third in the Bundesliga now. You know, sort of newly promoted. I think they came up last year, didn't they? Or the year before, but they are the new kids on the block in Germany and been doing fantastic stuff or competing, you know, at the very top, surprisingly. So, yeah, it seems an odd one, but as you say, the silver is still there at 13-8. It's obvious they do want him. Watford aren't playing ball. I suppose it's whether they pay the money that Watford want. Pay 30-odd million for midfielders, forwards, anything these days, but everybody starts fighting over whether it's 5 million or 10 million for a manager. You'd think the manager was a bit more important than, you know, maybe one extra player to the squad. But, you know, we shall see, won't we? The Atlanta game, the funny thing is, it started, I'd forgotten that Everton actually couldn't qualify. So I was looking through the for the Europa League prize this morning. I just can't find Everton anywhere in here. What's going on? Of course, they can't qualify, can they?
It's not on their agenda anymore.
Well, I know. I don't think it's been on the agenda for a while. So Atlanta are favourites for this tonight. But as you say, it's a bit of a dead rubber. Nobody's really that interested.
Meanwhile, on the Everton front, David Unsworth hit out yesterday at the FA for banning Umar Niass for 2 games for diving. So a 3-man panel ruled Niass had deceived the referee Anthony Taylor to win that penalty in the 2-2 draw at Crystal Palace. But what striker, what attacker doesn't try and deceive the referee, Dale?
Absolutely. I don't have any problem with the charge. But I do have a problem that we're 12 games into a season and it's suddenly come from nowhere. If you're going to start going down this road of, right, players will be charged for deception, then you must have it at the beginning of a season where everybody's given the letter of the law. These are the incidents. We'll show the players examples. Referees, the FA, get round the clubs and say, right, from today, this is what's going to happen. You can't get 12 games in and suddenly pick an incident and then suddenly suspend somebody. Because there'll be every fan in the country will have seen 10, 20 incidents where you could have argued exactly the same. You know, do you then start suspending players? Say you appeal for a corner, it's not a corner. And then they score from that corner. Is that deception? You know, because everybody's hands go up every time the ball goes out, corner or throw-in, don't they? You know, where do you stop? So I think it's a difficult one from the FA's point of view. The principle of deception for diving, I don't have a problem, but it really should be at the start of the season.
Yeah, and as David Unsworth said yesterday, it's a dangerous precedent to set. If decisions go against you that are debatable, these people are going to be very busy, said Unsworth yesterday. And actually, because they have set this precedent, what they can't just do is drop it now.
No, absolutely. You know, and there will be one a week, maybe more, half a dozen a week, you know, because everything becomes contentious. The one thing with it, and remember we had this argument or discussion last year at Crystal Palace at Selhurst Park when the Benteke penalty incident.
Yeah, of course.
You know, where you've got 50% of people who've seen it a million times think it was a penalty and 50% don't. So you still have that. You know, anytime there is contact, the player can go down. Whether that contact has made any difference to the player going down or not doesn't matter. When you're looking at it from a video point of view, you would almost have to argue, well, there's been contact, therefore, you know, who am I to judge whether it's forced the player to go down? Very dangerous territory we're getting into, you know, when it comes to legislation and such and suspensions and clubs losing players. But we're going to be talking about it, I think, every week now in the Premier League because, as you say, the precedent's been set.
Right, let's just get some odds for the weekend's footy action. There's a whopper for Liverpool, isn't there? Liverpool against Chelsea, which might give us, or tell us, quite an awful lot about where the clubs are at.
Well, one thing is, if Liverpool get 3-0 up, you won't be relaxed, will you?
Stop it.
I did laugh. The funny thing is, I actually went to Bolton Reading on Tuesday night, and I came in, I could say 8 o'clock kickoff there, and Phil Thompson was on Soccer Saturday, midweek soccer, you know, and he was watching the game, and he said, oh, the only problem here can be complacency, 3-1. And his face, when they went over to it, was just a picture. Goodness knows what he looked like when it got to 3-3. Liverpool strong favourites, 11-10. You know, they have this great record of the top six sides. The one thing, they haven't beaten Chelsea, I think, in the last five. But there's usually a draw this game. I know Chelsea, Liverpool went there last year. The only team, I think, to go to Stamford Bridge and get a win. The big thing, Chelsea's been on this 5,000-mile round trip to Quarabeg, haven't they? Was it 4-0 they won yesterday? That's a huge plus for Liverpool. You know, when you're travelling like that, and because Chelsea were in a poor position after the Roma defeat, they played a full side. I think there was probably only Morata and maybe one other who didn't start from what you would expect of the Chelsea side. So, yeah, Chelsea haven't lost at Anfield in the last five visits. So, the draw's probably where I'd be going, but Liverpool fans, they played well against Sevilla. You know, if you can take it in blocks, 60 minutes or whatever, 55, they're outstanding.
Here's a thought from one of our listeners, Chris, who says, thinking about it, Sevilla's two first goals don't annoy me that much. It is a mess by Moreno, but he has improved and will improve further. What annoys me is the response from the team when Sevilla scored. I think that's fair enough, Chris.
Absolutely, spot on. I think that the game management is the thing that, you know, you have to, over time, you have to say, well, how's the team adapting when you go in front? You have to start playing with a different mindset. Maybe I don't make so many runs forward when we're 3-0 up away from home. You stay in defensive positions. But this is the fact that Klopp has the best top six record since he arrived is outstanding. But the fact that they're not at the top winning games because they're losing against weaker opposition, even when they're going in front, that's game management. That's something the players have to adapt to. You have to change slightly how you're going to play. You can keep blitzing sides, but 3-0 up and go, that's just poor management from the players. You know, you've got to get your heads around that and be better. Because week in, week out, Liverpool go in front. You wouldn't be confident they'd be hanging on. And that's anybody in the country.
They won't be confident as players themselves. There'll be a little nagging doubt in their mind. Let's just finish on the cricket. First day is closed at the Ashes. So England close on 196 for four, which is a pretty decent effort, I'd say. If you look at the scorecard, they've done fairly well, considering most were writing them off, particularly at the Gabba. But Mark Stoneman, brilliant. James Vince as well with 83 today. And Milan still in at 28 and Moeen Ali with 13. I think the England team will be fairly happy with the day's work.
Yeah, they'd be delighted with that, won't they? Anything but, you know, the nightmare scenario of suddenly being 6-7 down day one for a 150 type of thing. And also the first day away for an Ashes tour, you just need to get into the game and then start showing. England are big outsiders in this, and Australia is still favourite. But nevertheless, you spot on the Vince 83. Then Stoneman put on, I'm not sure how many it was, but that was the big partnership that got England sort of back into it after the early Root was out. I think LBW and Cook caught behind. So, yeah, it's good that the new players as well, you know, not the household names are doing it. You know, Vince, Stoneman, players who, you know, aren't, shall we say, England regulars. They're the ones who come in and have performed. So, yeah, positive. The only thing is, I can't stay up all night watching it. you might be able to, but I'm not staying up.
No, we had our cricket correspondent Jamie on before. He said he's developed a man cave in his house. I don't know how many men have done this. And he said he's told his wife that he won't be seeing her for 2 months. So each and every night, he just disappears into his man cave.
Good luck with that one. Yeah, exactly. When the kids need to go to school about 9 o'clock, I know he'll be getting a knock on the door on his man cave.
Yeah, he will. Dale, thank you very much indeed. Speak soon.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The kickoff.
Radio City Talk.